1.12.
John 15:1. When you're there, say there.
There.
Awesome. All right. Well, we can get started then. This is Jesus speaking. He goes, I am the true vine, and my Father is a vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into a fire, and they are burned. Verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. Anybody notice there was a theme in that? Abide. Abide means to sojourn, to tarry. Something that has established itself permanently. To continue to be, not to perish. To last, to endure, and the last part, mutual indwelling. The word in abide is used 10 times in that little area. So abide doesn't just mean that you just show up and you leave. That's like a transplant or a quick whatever. Abide means that you hang out and then you relax. You become together as one. You get grafted together. And here it goes, if you abide in me, and I abide in you. And so the thing about it is that it's a two-way street. If we hang out, just like when Jesus talked to the Mary and Martha, one was sitting at his feet, the other one was off doing his whatever. The one sitting at Jesus' feet was abiding in Jesus. When we just sit at Jesus' feet and just abide in him, just abide. And so many times we'll pray, then we'll take off. Hey, welcome. We do love you.
Who is that
boy? I don't know. That we abide in him. So abiding doesn't mean we just come to God for a prayer, then just turn back and leave. Abiding means we come to his presence, seek his face, and wait for the answer. And we wait for the answer. And maybe sometimes still wait for the answer. Sometimes he's wondering if we seek him or if we're after something else. See, so many times we come to God and says, God, I will serve you as long as my dog doesn't get fleas.
But they have fleas called.
Mm-hmm. And so it attracts the fleas. It's their colleagues, isn't it? And so the thing about it is that when we abide with Jesus, we just hang out with him. We dwell with him. And he dwells with us. We abide together. And so when we abide with him, we actually hang out. And we just don't come in for a quick time. And abiding is ongoing. Abiding means you have a relationship. Abiding means you're stuck there in a good way. And so Jesus is saying, as I abided in my Father, I want you to abide with me. That Jesus didn't do anything without what? The Father telling him to do it. Then he went off and did it. But guess what? The Father was still with him. And so, how do we abide? Well, first of all, it says abide. Who do we abide in? We abide in Jesus, the Father, through the Holy Spirit. We don't abide in anything else, because whatever you abide in, that's what you become. So if you abide in the news, you're going to become like the news. Fear, doubt, anger, misinformation. We can go on a whole lot more bunny trails, but we won't. If you abide in sports, you become a sport like that. That's all you think about. But whatever you abide in, this is what you become. Because Jesus says, when we become one, that I'm the vine dresser. And sometimes he prunes up. You ever prune back a bush? Why do you do that? So it can produce what? More and healthier fruit. Good gardeners know when to prune and when not to prune. And how to prune. Jesus is the great prune dresser, vine dresser. He knows how to prune us. And guess what? What happens? The bush comes back healthier, stronger, and produces more. Abide in. Nin?
Pastor. Oh.
Yes.
Before you close what you're saying, I want to read this because this goes right.
Go ahead.
Oh, right now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So this is a commentary on Micah 7:7.
All right.
I'll read it. Okay. Patience in prayer. When everything is going wrong and we face personal problems and situations we cannot change, we cry out for deliverance and salvation. We have a divine helper who teaches us to wait on the Lord God, who hears and answers prayer. Some days it is more difficult to wait than others. And sometimes we grow tired of waiting and even feel that God is not listening. Despite the adverse circumstances, we choose to trust the Lord God and wait on Him. We know from the scriptures and the testimonies of countless others that He answers prayer. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit with an obedient heart. With an obedient heart, we look to the author and finisher of our faith. The Holy Spirit gives us the grace to wait on God, and patience becomes a force that is to have a perfect work in us. Our relationship with the Lord becomes more intimate, and the Holy Spirit empowers us to persevere and prepares us for the answer that will glorify the Lord our God. We purpose to trust and obey by reinforcing our trust with scripture and praise. Trust in the Lord God and let patience have its perfect work, and watch for the manifestation of your prayer. So I think that's a good example of abiding.
Yes.
Abiding is kind of developing that patience, and it's not just in prayer, but prayer has a lot to do with it.
Yes, great work.
Can I throw this?
No.
And you know, waiting on God, it doesn't mean that we, you know, we spend time with Him, but it doesn't mean we just sit and wait.
Correct. At times we do, but other times we go off and still do things, but we're waiting.
We're still waiting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes when you're waiting on God in prayer, you're like, okay, for the next 20 minutes, I want to pray and seek God. What if He answers you about 5 minutes into that? Says, hey, I want you to do X, Y, Z. But sometimes I'm praying, and all of a sudden the Lord goes, hey, text this person, tell them who you're praying for. I'm like, I'm going to pray, God. He goes, exactly. And so we obey it right away. Because God's always going to be there. So we abide with Him. We hang out with Him. And then it says, what happens? Oh, it says, how do we abide? We abide in Jesus' love and keep His commands. Or keep His words. When we abide in His love, love is just not a feeling, because you don't always feel love, but you know you still love. And then it goes, what happens when we abide in Jesus? There's always something that happens when we abide in Jesus. The first thing, you'll bear fruit. How cool is that? And it says, not just a little fruit, but you bear much fruit. And the fruit is the evidence of God living inside of you. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Then beyond that, the fruit. The fruit is a byproduct of a plant or a vine that's alive. Something that's dead will never produce fruit. But whatever's living will always reproduce. That's the reason why bunnies reproduce. Lots and lots of them. Because they're alive. How do you know if something's alive? Because it's producing fruit or reproducing after its own kind. An apple tree cannot produce an orange. It produces the fruit after its own kind. So the fruit that you're going to produce is the fruit of Jesus. So sometimes you'll get this righteous indignation, righteous anger. But He wasn't angry at the world. He was angry at the religious system that was set up in that day, because they turned the house of prayer into a money-making machine. And it goes, much means abundant, plentiful, numerous. Then what else happens? If we abide in Jesus' word, and we're in Him, Jesus taught not just one thing, but when we abide in that, this is what happens. Wherever you ask, think about that. Whatever you ask, it says, here it goes, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, so it's, when we abide in Jesus, His words will abide in us. We'll start talking like Jesus, acting like Jesus. His word. What does David says many times? He goes, I meditate on God's word. So we just don't read it through. And I have nothing against reading the Bible through in a year. But if that's all you're doing, but the word never gets in you, we need to step back and say, I need to meditate on God's word. And it says, abide in Me, My words abide in you. You will. It doesn't say you might. It says you will ask. Because when you get to know somebody, you're going to start asking them to help you out. Right? Because some people would ask a complete stranger to help them out, but that's not all, and people do that with God. He's a complete stranger to them. And God abides sometimes. But when you have that relationship with that person, you can say, hey, can you help me with this? And they'll come back, hey, can you help me with that? It's an ongoing helping one another. And he goes, when you ask a request for yourself, when people say, well, you shouldn't pray about things for yourself. Jesus says, when you ask for things for yourself, salvation for people, how about helping you out of a situation? Then it goes, here it goes, when you ask what you desire, a desire is not wrong unless it goes against what God's word says. There's nothing wrong with having a desire for things as long as those things don't have you. There's nothing wrong with that. Saying, hey God, my car is starting to break down. I need a new car. Guess what? Sometimes he puts that desire in you so he can fulfill that desire through you. Kind of like if you just wake up one morning and goes, you know something, I have a desire to make cookies and bless my neighbor. Or just make cookies. Or I have a desire to go to the lake today. And while you're at the lake, God's showing you all this beautiful stuff. Who put that desire in your heart? God did. Why did he put it there? Because he wants you to be fulfilled in him. And he wants to bless you with that desire. How awesome is that? See, when we abide in him, when we ask in Jesus' name, the desire needs, God will place them there for you to ask to receive. As long as it lines up with God's word. And it says, shall be done for you. So when you ask, it's like it's already done. Before you even ask. It's like if you already had a, for an example, this is not going to happen Friday night. But all of a sudden I'm like, hey, you know something? Let's buy a pizza for the kids. The kids would be excited. And now all of a sudden I'm drop clues. Hey, kids, what do you think about pizza for Friday night? Oh, yeah, that'd be a great desire. And guess what? They get excited and more excited. And all of a sudden, the pizza comes. Supreme. Or Hawaiian. Guess what? All of a sudden, the desire was placed in their heart by me placing it in their heart. And so I could deliver it so I could see a smile on their face. That's what God does for you. He puts that desire in your heart so you can be excited. So he can smile. And then, at the end, all we do is give God the glory. The old song, give God all the glory. How many of you remember that song? Give God all the glory. Come on, Jerry, you know that song, don't you? Give God all the glory for the great things he has done. Everything he has done. Because as I said before, we can't do anything without God. So when we get it done, we give God the glory. Tonight, we give God glory for being here. For driving us safely. Going to my meeting this morning, the lights at Byron was out. I mean, the quick trip there was no lights. The electricity was completely out. And someone goes, zoom, right through the stoplights. They weren't even flashing. Fortunately, nobody else was coming through. I give God the glory that he kept us safe. Because that's a crazy intersection anyways. Give God all the glory. And to give God the glory is to make glorious, adorned with luster, like excitement, clothed with splendor, to make renown, render is glorious, to cause the dignity and worth of God of us, and to things to become manifest in the now. In other words, we're making them bigger than what we received. And then, the reason why we remain abiding in Jesus. Jesus wraps it up with this. Things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. It all goes back to Jesus. How awesome is that?
Where is that joy part?
Verse 11, chapter 15 of John.
Oh, okay.
How cool is that? When you abide with Jesus, ultimately you're going to have joy. I've got joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where?
Down in my heart.
I'm so happy. The only way you're going to get joy is through Jesus. Can you imagine that? You wake up tomorrow with a desire, and I'm like, oh man, that would be so fun. And all of a sudden it happens. And you have a smile on your face. And all of a sudden God's like, look at them. They're excited. I blessed them and they're excited. And then we turn around and say, thank you, Jesus. You give him the glory. All right. I think I've done enough of that for tonight.